to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And actually, we've got a couple passages, but today we're going to talk about something a little bit different. It's going to be a little bit different. We're going to travel to one of the states that you probably never heard of, or maybe you have. But it's not one of the 50 states of the United States, but a state called contentment. What does that mean? How do you get there? So we're going to have that today in our discussion, in our time together. But if you're, Okay, hold on. I'll come back to that. You already know the answer. Philippians chapter 4, it should be chapter 4, verse 11, where it simply says that not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that whatever state I am or I'm in, therewith to be content. That's the state that we want to be in. That's the attitude that we want to have, especially as children of God. And then we encounter something, an experience that Paul had when he was traveling to Rome. God had already told him that he was on his way to Rome. And in Acts chapter 22, they encounter a storm. They encounter a storm. And in the midst of that storm, Paul says this: "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of anyone's life among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God has given you all them that sail with you. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be as it was told unto me." That's God's word for God's people. You may be seated. Father, we thank you again for your love and your grace. We ask that you'd be with us now. Help us to proclaim your truth as it ought to be proclaimed, to preach in a way that's powerful, but also that it reaches our heart with clarity and understanding. Thank you for all those that have gathered online, those that have gathered in here, that you might get the glory and all of the praise. We love you and we thank you, for it's in the precious name of Jesus we do pray. Amen and amen. All right, now pretend you didn't see this first slide, all right? So what is the number one state in the union? We're talking about on the economy. We're talking about the not only economic value of that state, but also things like infrastructure, roads and bridges, education, health care, internet access, public safety, and natural environment. So of all the states that we live in, or that people would live in, what's the most popular one? Don't say Utah. It is Utah, the number one state in the union. And as I said, they looked at certain things about that state. What would make it appealing? What would make it a place that you would want to live? And they said, this state has a lot to offer. And this is a segue into what we want to talk about, because it's not always the geographical area that you're living in. It's not always the place that you visit or live and stay there. It's the frame of mind. It's what you're thinking. It's what's residing in your heart, helping you to make your way through situations. Now, the perfect environment would be if we had nothing that troubled us, right? That would be the number one thing. You'd say, well, hey, it's all good. But how many of us have lived long enough, gone through enough, to realize that life is not always good? You're going to have these struggles. You're going to have these trials. And that's where Paul says, I've learned the best state of all is this state called contentment. Contentment. Are you content? Are you content when you're on the mountaintop? Everything's fine. You look in your wallet and you got lots of money in there, or you look online at your bank account and everything balances out. You say, we're good. Family's doing good. But what happens when things start going downhill? What happens when life starts falling apart around you? That's where we start questioning, number one, our faith. We want to know, is God with me? Or am I in this alone? Second question we ask, what did I do? How did I get to this place where I am now, where I'm going through the struggle? And a lot of us, we find ourselves, even though we may never have traveled with Paul, we find ourselves in a rocky boat. Show of hands, how many of you been there? Now, I do have to ask this question before I go a little bit further. How many of you all are original Virginians? In other words, you were born here, raised here, stayed here, and plan on dying here, right? All right, so majority. How many of you all are not from Virginia? Raise your hands, please. So we got some folks, y'all strangers. Welcome, strangers. No, just kidding. But you know, you would ask the question, well, what brought you to Virginia? You know, I think it's a pretty good state. Some say, well, jobs. Some will say something else led me to the state of where I am. But what can lead you to the state that we're talking about spiritually? Contentment. You don't just get there by accident. You don't just get there like Dorothy did on The Wizard of Oz, clicking your heels together. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take knowing something about God that you never knew before. A lot of people can love God when everything is going fine, when they're on the mountaintop. But what about the valleys? What about these things that happen to you without your choice and sometimes without your approval? I'm not going through that. Is it possible for us to reach this state called contentment? So what we're going to look at a couple of things today. I told you I had some cool slides, so anyway. Not as good as Shirley's, but they'll work. We're going to first look at the need. Why do I need contentment? And then we're going to try to look at the path of how to get there. From wherever you are, from whatever you're going through, how do you get to the state called contentment? How do you say, God, I know you're with me. I can feel your presence. Even when there's danger all around you, there are things that you certainly can't control. How do I get to this state of contentment? We're going to take a look at that as we go through this today. And then we're going to also look at the benefit. What's the benefit? If I get contentment, will I be able to keep it? Is it going to get me through my struggle? Is it going to benefit my life thereafter? Now, I want to talk to the veterans of faith. Notice I didn't say old people. I said veterans of faith. How many of you all have been through something that you didn't really choose, but after you had gone through it, it made you so much stronger? Can you give God just a little bit of praise for that? You saw and you were able to experience the fact that God brought me through it, but not only did he bring me through it, I'm glad it's done. You got to the other side of it and you started saying to yourself, you know what? If I hadn't gone through that, I wouldn't know what I know now. I wouldn't be able to accomplish the things that I can do now, but because God brought me through it, I'm so much better. You see, you don't learn everything on Easy Street. You don't get it all when things just happen to fall your way. Flowers don't bloom all the time. Sometimes they wither. And what do you do about it? You learn the state of contentment. 1 Timothy 6 and 8, Paul says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I know a lot of you watch the stock market. So you watch it go up. You watch it go down, right? And some of y'all go nervous like, oh, there goes my 401k plan. Because you want to see things happen in a way that you feel like I'm benefiting. But I can tell you there's a benefit When you get to this state of contentment, not only will it help you, but it's going to please God. Because you would have the frame of mind, as long as God is with me, everything is all right. Y'all ready to travel? All right, pretend you're behind the steering wheel, and we're headed to this place called contentment, but all of a sudden we encounter what? A storm. A storm. For Paul, it was on the Mediterranean Sea. A situation called up the called Euroclydon. If you're from Scottsburg, you call it Euroclydon. If you're from someplace else in Virginia, you call it Euroclydon. I like Euroclydon. Either way, it means typhoon, hurricane, storm of tremendous force. It's one thing for you to experience a storm on land, but when you're on the sea, going to a destination that you know is far off, to encounter that storm means that your boat is going to take in some water. You're going to face some things that you never thought you would have to go through ever in your life. And it happened to Paul. If you recall, in our study in Acts, Paul had already been arrested for a crime he didn't commit, had accusers that basically lied on him and said that he did something that he didn't do. Am I crossing some territory here? People accuse you of things and you know you didn't do it, and they swear up and down you did it, and they neither saw it nor were witness to it, and yet you got to stand there and take it. That's a storm. That's a storm. Or you feel pretty good, Nurse Johnson was saying, you feel pretty good, but all of a sudden, just little things start happening, and the next thing you know, you think it's one thing, and you go to the doctor, and man, they got a whole list of stuff that's wrong with you. Your boat is rocking. What do you do? How do you make it through it? First, and those things happen, we want God to just to quickly get us out of it. We didn't ask for the storm. And you know, you ever heard that song, the country song, Why Me, Lord? What have I ever done? And we start into that attitude of being down on ourselves, doubting God, and thinking to ourselves, this is the worst place that I could ever be in this mess that I'm in right now. It happens all the time. But if you will let God be God, okay? And if you would be faithful to him, I can guarantee you that not only will God get you through the storm, but he'll be with you in the storm. Can I get an amen? Yeah. So as with traveling, if you've ever gone anywhere from state to state, we're going to travel from our state of probably messed up life to where we're headed, to another life. To another state of mind, another frame of mind. You're going to cross different roads. Some of them are going to be what we call toll roads. Y'all ever had to do that? And now they've gotten so fancy, they don't have the toll booths that you go through. You're driving along and you happen to travel along and you notice a camera, and all of a sudden you go through this thing and it doesn't even stop. So, I wonder, where's the toll? You either pay up front or you pay later. I discovered this thing called, have you ever heard of Easy Pass? Easy Pass. You know, you just stay in that left lane and let it fly, which means you've already paid up front, right? But if you're like me, cheapskate, which my wife would say, you just want to say, well, hey, I'll only pay it if I need to. Like, what's that commercial, only pay for what you need. Yeah. And that's me. You should have paid up front. Well, I ain't paying until I have to. And we were in the state of Pennsylvania thinking that we're going to whiz right through. Well, I got something in the mail the other day that said, hey, you are in our state. Now you got to pay the toll. Do you not know that there are spiritual tolls in life? Some of them we pay. Some of them we try to pay it with human effort. We want to see what we can do. On that ship, when they encountered that storm, which went about 14 days and plus, they did things like hoisting the sail. Let's try to take advantage of the wind. Then they found out, no, that's taking us in the wrong direction. Let down the sail. They said, well, maybe we need to lighten our boat. So they threw stuff overboard. They said, well, maybe we need to drop anchor. So they dropped the anchor. And they said, no, this is messing us up too. We need to pull up the anchor. Does that feel like you sometime? Trying everything you know. Going to people who don't know. And they're going to tell you, well, try this. Well, if it messed you up, what do you mean it's going to help me? It's not really doing me any good. But you're paying a spiritual toll. It can wreak havoc on your life. It can be worse than a storm. Because now you're trying to correct the stuff that you're in. Well, I know where you're going, and I'm going to get to you. Well, what do we do, Pastor? Do we just throw up our hands? I'm going to get to that in just a second. Well, some of us, when we're going through these storms, we try to please people. Going along just to get along. I don't want to make any waves. Well, look around you. There are a whole bunch of waves here. Paul could have felt like, I don't know if we're going to make this or not. You remember, he's human just like you and I. He faces things just like we do. As one person said, if you cut him, he'll bleed. All right? So he is human. He knows and understands what a storm is, and he understands the peril that they were in. But one thing he does not do, he does not give up. Everybody else on the boat, by the way, there were 286 of them on board. Everybody else on the boat, if you read it in 27th chapter and verse 10, it said they gave up all hope of being saved. And I know there are people that are listening to me right now online and probably in here. You've given all hope of things changing. You're kind of like the Walter Cronkite. That's the way it is. That ain't the way it is. God can create a new day. He's the author of everything that is made. And you know what? When you have a bad day, what you ought to be saying is, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice. And I'm going to be glad in it. You can try a lot of things. You can try a lot of tricks to the trade. Do it yourself. And find out the boat's still in trouble. What I do about it? And that's the toll road that people go through saying, I just want to be happy. And some people choose the happiness of saying, well, let me just get high on drugs. You know, let me just get bombed out. Or let me just stop by the ABC store and get me whatever it is they get. And you find out that you're creating a bigger problem. Now you got a storm on top of a storm. But how many of you have ever said to yourself, God didn't bring me this far to leave me now? So you got the spiritual toll road. You got the spiritual toll road that says, hey, you know what? I'm going to try to do everything I can. Only to find out that if God's not with you, it's not going to get done. But then you got these things called freeways. How y'all like that, right? Well, my mama told me a long time ago, nothing in life is free. At one point, Paul's group of mariners, these experienced sailors, they said to themselves, let's just let it go. They turned loose the rudders. They turned loose the helm. The captain said, you know what? I'm stepping back. And I'm just going to let it go. Folks, that's dangerous. It can even be reckless. For you to say to yourself, I'm just going to give up. If God has an ounce of air in your lungs, if he gives you that, or if he gives you your next heartbeat, for his sake, You can't just let it go. I know we've heard the phrase, hold on. But I'm going to say to you, hold on to your faith. The state you're in might be depression. It might be anxiety. It might be fear. But we're coming out of that state. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm coming out of that state. You might be facing the worst health crisis in your life right now. But if you make up in your mind, I'm coming out of this state. You may be facing one of the greatest challenges you've had financially right now, but you can say to yourself, I am coming out of this state. I'm getting out of the state, and I'm going to some place where things are going to be better. If I can't get there physically, I'm going there spiritually. God showed me something this morning that is absolutely incredible. We wonder how hope and faith work together. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. And God showed me a picture that my dad used to have, this surveyor's telescope. And what he would want to, what he would do is when he would see something far away, they had to mark where different things were. So he would look through the telescope. And if you notice what a telescope does, it makes small things bigger, right? If you're looking at something through the telescope, you're going to see it a little bit bigger because of the fact you're now looking at it's far away. It could be hundreds of yards away. And in the case of your faith, it could be miles and days away. But what faith does, it grabs the telescope of hope and it looks down the road and it says that God will make a way somehow. All I've got to do is keep my focus, keep my mind made up, and the Lord will show me exactly what I need to do. Are y'all still here? So you got to know where you're going. What's on the spiritual freeway? People give up. Give up the rudder. You know, just say, hey, just let it go. Have you ever used the words in your life, I don't care? You ever used them? I've used them. And really deep down on the inside, I did care. But at the moment, I was so frustrated. You know, when you can't fix the car, which I'm cheap, I'll admit it. Don't take it to the garage, just take it back and jack it up and work on it. It's easy to take stuff off. But I learned it's hard to put it back. Are y'all in the building? On life's freeway, we love to dissect stuff and take it apart and just rip it apart. I don't care. And then there we are with the mess, trying to fumble through and realize that the only life you have is the one that you're living right now. The only body that you have is the one that you're living in right now. So to take that I don't care attitude, you're going to mess up your vessel. That's what you're going to do. Giving up. And then hoping for the best. They did a survey one time of some young people. And they asked young people, when you encounter life's problem, what will you do? And some of them put at the top of their list, commit suicide. Whoa, time out. How is that a solution? How is that solving any problem? It creates a bigger problem. Now the family is left holding the bag of someone's final act. But can I tell you that God has a better way? He has this thing called hope. And faith looks through that telescope of hope and says, it's gonna be all right. So let me just tell you, as I close, I prepare to close here. Let me just tell you what happened with Paul. While he was going through the ordeal along with everybody else on the boat, you being a Christian does not remove you from the pain and the suffering of this life. There are things that you just got to do, and you got to suffer along with everybody else who's in this boat. But your attitude can be different. Because when you not only know something, but you know someone, you know that he is able. Paul looked through that telescope and said, wait a minute, God's showing me something that I didn't see before. It's gone. We're still in the storm, but God showed me we're going to make it to our destination. He says in verse 22, he said, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of anyone's life among you, but only the ship. You know what? If the ship or the vessel that we're traveling in, that's all right. We can still swim. How many of y'all know you can still swim? And he even said when the boat had broken apart, he said, now if you can just get on some broken pieces, you can still make it. Everything don't always have to be together. But if God just gives you a little bit of something to hold on to, a little bit of perseverance, a little bit of patience, you can say to yourself, you know what, as long as God is with me, everything will be all right. Are y'all still here? Now, as with any destination, you have to have some exits, right? You got to get off on an exit. You just can't stay on the road you're on. You can't stay on the interstate and hope to visit Aunt Sue up in Pittsburgh. You got to stay. You got to take an exit. Take an exit. Got to get off. Some of y'all saying, I'm glad when the pastor gets off this message. He's been preaching a long time. I love to tell it, amen. One of the exits, one of the things that you need to think about, though, is how am I going to travel? How am I going to express the things that I need to have in order to stay afloat? First of all, stop going to God with your fear and go to him with your faith. Let me explain what that means. A lot of us will go to God when something bad happens, and as if we're the news reporter, God, guess what happened to me? He already knows. It was in his plan for your life that you were going to encounter such and such on today, and you're right on time. But instead of you saying what you need to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, you're saying, God, we got a problem. God doesn't have a problem. Okay? Let's just get that clear. He doesn't have a problem. And he's given you faith, because guess how your faith worked? Your faith brought you to God, all right? You would have went anywhere else. You could have done anything else. But instead, you turned to God and said, God, you're the most important thing that I turn to, even in my time of crisis. And you notice that verse says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It says, there is no want to them that know God as his shepherd. All right? You turn that verse around and you can talk to God and say, God, you're my shepherd. I don't have anything that's lacking in my life. Because with you as my shepherd, you supply all my needs according to your riches and glory. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to cross my leg. I'm going to chill out because God's going to make a way somehow. Are y'all still here? Instead of going to God with your fear, go to him with your faith. Start expressing your love for God. Second thing you do is learn to hear from God. If you notice, Paul says, I have learned, which meant there were things I didn't know that he could do, but when I went through it and saw that he could do it, now I learned. Y'all missed that. You missed it. By the way, attend Bible study online. You'll love it. Brother Joe brought out a fact that we are in the learning process. You don't know everything. Between now and glory, on your way to contentment, you got to say, Lord, I'm willing to learn. But in order to learn, you got to go through some experiences. But when you go through some experiences, you will find out that God is stronger and God is bolder. God is more powerful than anything that you will ever encounter in your life. God is more powerful than cancer. He's more powerful than earthquakes. He's more powerful than the lightning. God's more powerful than the wind and the waves. If you don't believe it, get Jesus on your boat, and you're going to hear him speak to your wind and to your wave and say, peace, be still. We used to have dogs around the house. They wanted company to come to the house. Here they come, Tony. They barking, carrying on. Shut up and go around the house. That's what Jesus did to the wind. Why? Because he made the wind. That's what he did to the molecules of water, because he made the water. He knew what could make them sit down and behave themselves. And when you've got trouble in your way, you're talking about, I got to cry sometime. You ain't got to cry. You can lift your head up and say, Lord, I rejoice in you, my hope and my deliverer, my strong tower, my blessed God. Paul learned to listen. Everybody else, watch this, was listening to the waves. Man, it's bad out there. Some of y'all looking at the politics. Man, it's bad out there. Some of y'all looking at your checkbook. Man, it's bad. But when you got a God that supplies all you need according to his riches and glory, you don't worry about it. He can make one penny take care of all you need. Amen. One time I remember praying to God. I said, Lord, you don't have to give me more money. Just give me less bills. And you know what the Lord did? He said, tear up your credit card. Okay. Back to the sermon. Everybody else was listening to the tossing wind. Here's Paul listening for God. When you get in the middle of your crisis, of your need, start listening to what's coming out of heaven. He said, I heard the Lord say. He stood by me this night, the angel of God, which means messenger, and the one that I serve and the one that I belong to. He said, fear not. You're going to make your way to Rome. You're going to stand before Caesar, and you're going to give your testimony of what it means to trust in God. So, what am I saying? As I close, where I am right now is not as important as where I'm going when God's get finished with me. How many of y'all get that? Where I am right now, what I'm going through right now, is not going to prevent me from where I'm going. Because nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Tribulation, wind, waves, things present, things to come, principalities, powers. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. How many of y'all got God on your boat? So what I want you to do, the next few minutes, I want you to think about the thing that's had you in a storm this past week. I want you to think about that storm that you've been going through this past week. Because we said when we started off that we're headed for a destination. And what's the name of that state? Contentment. So we're going to move from where we are, and through the word of God, through the scripture, I've already told you what God is doing in your life. He's your shepherd. He's your provider. He's your guide. He's your friend. I've already showed you from the scripture how that God's in control, even in a storm. Now we're getting ready to exit, and we're going to exit at this place called contentment. What do we need to do about that? We got to learn it. Got to learn it. A lot of us don't have problems when we got a storm. Some of us got problems when we got success. Check just came in the mail. Hot dog. Man, we're going to live it up. Don't let the stuff you got go to your head. And if it does go to your head, don't let it replace what you believe in your heart. Are y'all still here? Because you know that contentment is something that you must have in your life, whether you're up or whether you're down. Success often means I don't have to pray as much. What do I pray about today? Well, if you can't pray, praise him. Our dependence on God goes down, and our self-reliance goes up. Everything good. That's a dangerous position to be in. Israel was there, and they turned their back on God, and the very things that they had became their idols, and their idols became their destruction. Don't let it be yours. All right. I know my wife said, finally get to this exit. By the way, exiting to contentment means exiting to God's will. You're literally saying in your heart, your will be done. Who else said that? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and you ought to be saying it. God, your will be done. Look for the next three exits. Exit number one says, be satisfied with God's presence. You know he's with you, right? The moment you receive Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, God made an irrevocable promise that he would always be with you. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. When I got married to my wife over 51 years ago, I told her I would never leave her. And you know what? She made me keep that promise. But I've loved it. I've loved it. I thank God for it. I thank God for her life. But when God is with you, there's no separation. There's no saying, I want God today and I don't want him tomorrow. Because he has a love for you every day. His love does not change. And his presence is real, even in a rocky boat. Second thing is, always remember what God said. Do not allow the voices of your circumstance to become louder than the voices of God. The waves are going to be crashing always. They can always be telling you, your boat is going on. You say, no, it's not. No, it's not. I'm going to remember the promises of God. I'm going to remember what God spoke to my heart and how that brought peace, even in the time of storm. You see, Jesus knew that his Father was always with him. That's why he could get on the boat and on the Sea of Galilee. He could go to sleep while everybody else was terrorized. It was not the storm without, it was the storm within. And some of you got that storm within you right now. It's raging. It's telling you, you're not in control of this. True, I'm not. But I know somebody who is. Somebody bigger than you and I. Lastly, become God's advocate. Become the one that advocates for God's power. Let me give you a picture of that, and then I'm going to my seat. I know I said that before, but you know how creatures do. They kind of get on something. How many of y'all ever taken these things called selfies? So you reach out your arm, and you say, okay, here's me and Jesse. And we're just smiling. Yeah, we took some pictures, and now we're just so happy. Now we go back, and we look at the pictures. When God spoke to Paul, do you know what I know what he did? He took a selfie with him and God, a spiritual selfie. And he said, here's me and God out here on this boat in this raging sea. But here's me and God is telling me, Paul, we're going to make it to Rome. And so he takes the picture, he smiles. That's the only way he could go to the folks and say, be of good cheer. You cannot give what you do not have. How could he give somebody else cheer if he didn't have cheer? But because he was taking the picture with God, God has smiled on me. And when you smile and take that picture with God, everything is going to be all right. May I tell you today, get rid of the hopeless person that tries to, you know how folks try to sneak in your picture? You've had that happen. You go up and you're someplace and you want to take a picture with somebody, and then some idiot comes up and says, I'm going to smile along with you. Your trouble will try to sneak into your picture that you're taking with God, trying to change things, but they got this neat feature now. Some of the phones can get rid of that stuff. May I tell you, you got a telephone in your bosom on the inside that whenever you want to get rid of fear, all you got to say is, fear, you don't own me. You ain't in this picture. Discontentment, you don't own me. You're not in this picture. Who's in it? Just me and my Savior. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take an exit to this place called contentment by one question. Are you satisfied with Jesus? If you're sad, I just need a few folk just to stand up and say, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with him. I know he works. He works in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. I took a selfie with him. Here's the proof that he's real, because he's real inside of my heart. Give the Lord a praise today. Now, I know some of y'all been listening to me rant and carry on, but I'm excited about Jesus. Do you not know that there's nothing that can destroy your faith? But one thing can happen to your faith. You can fail to use it. And you're still in that state that you were once in. But if you've got contentment, you're saying to yourself, everything is going to be all right. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, I thank you. There may have been someone listening online, Father, that it touched their heart. They need to take a picture with God. They need to picture themselves as, instead of being in turmoil, picture themselves being surrounded by a Savior, a God who cares deeply about their life, who loved them so much that he went to Calvary, died for their sin, and rose again for their justification. I pray that you show them, Lord, that you can paint a different picture with a different destination. Help them, Lord, that they would reach this state of contentment in Christ. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to bless us, that we would tell others about your love and grace. Share the good news of what it means to truly put our trust in God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for being who you are and for accepting us as your people. We love and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap. Amen. Invitation is given. If there be one today, if there be one today, may you come. Is there one? Y'all love the Lord? You got your contentment? All right, deep on the inside, amen. God bless you.
Our God is awesome.
Our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain.
My God.
My God is awesome.
Heals me.
Thank you, Pastor.
Yeah.
You know, today is, I guess, if you don't know, I'm from originally from the island of St. Lucia, right? And you know what happened yesterday? One of our own won the 100 meter, won the gold medal, a country of about 180,000. And there is reason to celebrate. But you know, with all that energy, I believe that the message today is what we need to be celebrating, because God is good. And I hope that we will be able to take that message and share it with those who are not able to be here, so that they too can enjoy serving the Lord. Thank you, Pastor. Father, today we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have spoken to us through your manservant. So we do ask that, Holy Spirit, help us, Father, to take this word that you have given to us and share. Do not allow us to keep it for ourselves, because it does not do us any good to see our loved ones, to see our friends, knowing, oh God, that their destiny is without hope. So we do pray tonight, today, and ask that you just help us to use that energy to share your love, to share your word, so that they can receive you as their Lord and personal Savior. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that you have given to us of giving. We do pray, dear God, a special blessing upon this offering. We know that without this offering, Father, you are able, oh God, to do exceedingly abundantly of what you want to do. So, Lord, we just thank you for the privilege that you have given us to share in giving back to you what you have blessed us with. And we ask that you bless it so that you may use it accordingly, so that men and women, boys and girls, may hear your word proclaimed no matter where they are. And as we depart from this place, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord cause the light of his countenance to shine upon you and bless you with his peace this day and all of your tomorrows. Let the church say amen.